I am Link. Welcome to Tech Talk, a Black Elk Media production. Today is May 30th, 2026, and we are analyzing the latest shifts in the digital landscape. A chip startup just closed a $135 million funding round, and they're not building faster processors. They're not chasing more cores, more flops, more raw compute. Instead, they're making a very specific claim that the real bottleneck in artificial intelligence infrastructure isn't how fast you can calculate. It's how fast you can feed data to the thing that calculates. This is a memory problem. And if you've watched the trajectory of AI hardware over the past 2 years, you've seen the pattern forming. Models keep growing, context windows keep expanding, and the silicon doing the math spends more and more of its time waiting on data to arrive from memory. It's a bandwidth wall, and throwing more compute at it doesn't fix it. It makes it worse. So who are these engineers? What exactly are they building? And why did investors just write a very large check on the thesis that the entire industry has been optimizing the wrong side of the equation? That's what we're taking apart today. This is The Front Page, your rapid-fire briefing on the stories shaping tech right now. I'm Link. Let's get into it. NVIDIA is about to blow the doors open on the Windows laptop market. Microsoft, NVIDIA, and ARM are all posting coordinated teasers. Identical messages reading, "A new era of PC," with coordinates pointing straight to Computex in Taipei. The worst-kept secret in the industry is now basically confirmed. NVIDIA's N1X laptop processors, ARM-based, built to compete directly with Qualcomm's Snapdragon lineup, are expected to debut at NVIDIA's keynote Sunday night. Here's why this matters. Until now, Qualcomm held an exclusive license to run Microsoft's ARM variant of Windows 11. That exclusivity is over. Lenovo and Dell are reportedly already preparing laptops with M1X silicon inside. When the company that dominates data center AI compute turns its attention to your laptop, the competitive pressure on Qualcomm, Intel, and AMD just escalated significantly. Watch this space. Now, speaking of big companies stepping up to protect infrastructure they depend on, the open source security problem just got its biggest intervention yet. IBM and Red Hat are launching Project Lightwell, a $5 billion initiative backed by 20,000 engineers to find and fix vulnerabilities in open source software at industrial scale. The trigger here is real. Daniel Steinberg, the maintainer behind CURL, one of the most widely used data transfer tools on the planet, says inbound security reports are running 4 to 5 times higher than 2024 levels. AI tools are helping developers write code faster, but they're also flooding maintainers with bug reports at unsustainable rates. Steinberg says he's on the verge of burnout. Now, Lightwell won't pay upstream maintainers directly. Instead, it deploys IBM and Red Hat engineers armed with AI tooling to work on business-critical open-source projects. For context, Anthropic's Mythos preview model recently identified nearly 3,900 serious vulnerabilities in open-source code in just a few weeks. The volume of the problem is outpacing human capacity to respond. Lightwell is treating open-source risk as a supply chain problem, not a background chore. That framing alone is a significant shift. And if you want a picture of what happens when security infrastructure fails at scale, look at this next story. Dutch authorities just dismantled one of the largest botnets ever documented. Over 17 million compromised devices, managed through 200 servers hosted in the Netherlands, all seized and taken offline. The botnet was reportedly linked to ASOX, a Russia-based residential proxy service. These services let customers route internet traffic through other people's devices to mask their real location. The use cases are almost exclusively hostile. DDoS attacks, phishing operations, botnet command and control, content scraping. What makes residential proxies particularly dangerous is that the traffic looks like it's coming from ordinary home connections. That makes it much harder for defenders to distinguish attacks from legitimate users. The Dutch National Cybersecurity Center flagged this explicitly. When attacks arrive through domestic IP addresses, standard filtering breaks down. 17 million devices is a staggering number. It tells you the scale of the infrastructure that criminal proxy networks are quietly building underneath everyday internet traffic. From threats hiding behind ordinary traffic to agents acting on your behalf, let's talk about what Google just shipped. Google's answer to the autonomous agent wave is here. Gemini Spark, launched this week in beta for AI Ultra subscribers at $100 a month, is an always-on agent that connects to your Gmail, Docs, Calendar, and more. Then it acts on your behalf. This is Google's direct response to OpenClaw, the agent that went viral earlier this year when early adopters handed over their digital lives to an AI, with predictably chaotic results. Google is betting it can do this more reliably. In early testing, Spark pulled off some genuinely impressive tasks. Given a simple prompt about party planning, it cross-referenced email reservations, generated a guest list for communication patterns, and built a full itinerary in minutes without supervision. But it also demonstrated exactly why agent autonomy is still uncomfortable territory. It classified one tester's long-term partner as a, quote, close friend and frequent companion, and left the birthday person off their own guest list. The pattern here is clear. Every major platform is racing to ship agents that can read your data and take action. The technical capability is advancing fast. The contextual understanding is still catching up. Four stories, one thread connecting them. The gap between capability and control is where every major player is placing its bets right now. Whether it's NVIDIA muscling into laptop silicon, IBM scaling up security response, law enforcement chasing botnet infrastructure, or Google letting an agent loose on your inbox, the question isn't whether AI reshapes these systems. It's whether the guardrails keep pace with the deployment. That's the front page for May 30th, 2026. I'm Link. Stay sharp. The deep dive, the memory wall, why AI's real bottleneck was never compute. Here's a question worth sitting with. What if the entire AI hardware industry has been optimizing for the wrong thing? For the past 3 years, the narrative has been singular. More GPUs, faster GPUs, bigger clusters of GPUs. NVIDIA's market cap crossed $3 trillion on that story alone. But a startup called Axena just raised $135 million on a very different thesis. That the real bottleneck in AI infrastructure isn't compute. It's memory. And the data supporting that claim is harder to dismiss than you might think. To understand what Axena is actually building, you need to understand what happens every time you send a prompt to an AI model. Your request arrives at a data center. The data, the model's weights, your conversation history, the context window, lives in DRAM. Dynamic random access memory. That's the fast, volatile memory that stores whatever a processor is actively working on. But DRAM doesn't do any thinking. It just holds data. So that data has to travel off the memory module, across a bus, to a CPU for pre-processing. Then it gets handed off again, across another interconnect, to a GPU for the heavy matrix math. The result travels back the same way. And this entire round trip happens for every single token the model generates. Here's the part that really matters. The actual matrix multiplication, the math the GPU does, is fast. Incredibly fast. Modern GPUs can churn through trillions of operations per second. But the data movement? That's slow by comparison. And it's expensive. Every byte that travels between memory and compute burns energy, adds latency, and requires high bandwidth interconnects that cost a fortune. The industry calls this the memory wall, the growing gap between how fast processors can compute and how fast they can actually get data to compute on. Axena's approach is conceptually straightforward, even if the engineering is anything but. Their chip, the MX1, places compute logic directly alongside DRAM, not on the GPU. Not on the CPU. Right there, inside the memory module itself. It connects to the host system through CXL, Compute Express Link, which is an open interconnect standard designed to let devices like memory expanders and accelerators communicate with CPUs using a shared, cache-coherent protocol. Think of CXL as a dedicated express lane between the processor and attached devices, one that lets the memory module say, "I've already handled that operation. Here's your result." No round trip needed. What kinds of operations? Not the heavy matrix math. GPUs still own that. But a surprising amount of AI inference workload isn't matrix multiplication at all. It's data orchestration, pre-processing inputs. That's the key value cache. The system that stores prior conversation context so the model doesn't have to recompute everything from scratch with each new token. Shuffling data between layers, sorting, filtering. These are tasks that currently get routed through CPUs, which means more data movement, more latency, more power draw. For work that could theoretically happen right where the data already lives. Axena claims that by handling these operations near memory, what used to require 10 servers could run on one. That's a bold claim, but the architectural logic behind it is sound. Let's put this in market context, because the timing here is not accidental. Axena was founded in 2022 by three veterans of Samsung and SK Hynix, the two Korean companies that, along with Micron, essentially control the global memory chip market. And this month, all three of those memory makers crossed a $1 trillion valuation for the first time. That's not a coincidence. It reflects a massive demand surge for memory in AI infrastructure. Here's why. The industry is shifting from training to inference. Training a model is a one-time compute-heavy process. But inference, actually running the model to answer questions, generate images, power agents, that happens millions of times per day, and it's overwhelmingly memory-bound. Every active conversation needs its own KV cache. Every longer context window demands more DRAM. Every additional user multiplies the memory footprint. As AI models get deployed at consumer scale, memory becomes the resource that doesn't scale gracefully. The numbers bear this out. HBM, high bandwidth memory, the specialized memory stacked on top of NVIDIA's GPUs, has become one of the most constrained components in the supply chain. Its price has been climbing steadily. SK Hynix's HBM revenue more than tripled last year. The bottleneck isn't whether you can get GPUs anymore. Increasingly, it's whether those GPUs can get fed data fast enough to stay busy. And Xena isn't alone in seeing this. ByteDance, the company behind TikTok and China's Doubao AI chatbot, is reportedly partnering with a Chinese startup called InnoStar Semiconductor on memory technology for its own custom AI chips. Silicon Motion just announced a new SSD controller, explicitly optimized for KV cache performance in local AI workloads. The entire supply chain is waking up to the same realization. Memory is no longer passive storage. It's becoming active infrastructure. So what changes if near-memory computing actually works at scale? First, the economics of inference shift dramatically. If Xena's 10-to-1 server reduction claim holds up even partially, say 3-to-1, that's still a massive reduction in hardware costs, power consumption, and data center footprint for hyperscale operators. The company spending billions on AI infrastructure, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, are all looking for ways to reduce the cost per inference. Moving compute closer to memory is one of the most architecturally elegant ways to do that. Second, it changes the competitive dynamics around AI chips. Today, NVIDIA dominates because its GPUs are the best at matrix multiplication, and it controls the software ecosystem through CUDA. But if a growing share of inference work can be offloaded to memory-side processing, the value shifts. GPUs don't become irrelevant. They still handle the core model math. But they become one part of a more distributed architecture, rather than the single point of leverage. That's a subtle but significant change. Third, and this is the part I find most interesting, it creates a potential opening for the memory manufacturers themselves. Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron have spent decades as commodity suppliers, building faster, denser, cheaper memory chips, but always in service of someone else's processor. Near-memory computing gives them a path to move up the value chain. If the memory module itself becomes a compute device, the companies that know how to build memory at scale suddenly have a much more strategic role. Now, the caveats, and there are real ones. Xena's MX1 chip hasn't been deployed at scale yet. The company says it's in early conversations with global memory vendors, but hasn't named them. CXL, the interconnect they're building on, is still maturing. Version 3.1 of the spec is gaining traction, but ecosystem support is uneven. Near memory and processing in memory concepts have been researched in academia for decades, without breaking through commercially. The history of this time it's different, in semiconductor architecture, is humbling. But there's a counterargument. Previous attempts at near-memory computing didn't have a workload that demanded it. AI inference does. The KV cache problem is real. The data movement problem is measurable. And the economic pressure to reduce inference costs is enormous and growing. Sometimes a technology doesn't break through until the right application arrives. Large language model inference might be that application for near-memory compute. Zoom out, and the pattern is clear. The AI hardware stack is fragmenting. In a productive way. For the past few years, the story was monolithic. NVIDIA GPUs do everything. But we're now watching specialization emerge across every layer. ByteDance is designing custom inference CPUs inspired by Grok's language processing unit architecture. Amazon has quietly deployed an entirely new data center network topology based on random graph theory, replacing the hierarchical fat tree design that's been standard for decades, cutting networking hardware by 69%. And boosting throughput by a third. Silicon Motion is building SSD controllers tuned specifically for AI memory access patterns. And Axina is pushing compute into the memory layer itself. Each of these moves reflects the same underlying insight. AI workloads are diverse enough and expensive enough that the one-size-fits-all approach is leaving performance and money on the table. The next generation of AI infrastructure won't be built around a single dominant chip. It will be built around specialized components, memory, networking, storage, compute, each optimized for the specific part of the workload it handles best. The question isn't whether this shift happens, it's already happening. The question is who captures the value. And right now, the smart money is starting to say that memory isn't just where data lives. It's where a surprising amount of the work should be done. The neural network, the efficiency inflection. Here's what I'm tracking this week. 3 unrelated projects. Different teams, different goals, different code bases. And yet, they're all converging on the same thesis. And honestly, it rhymes with what we just explored in the deep dive. The abstraction layers we built over the last decade, they're compressing. Fast. Let me connect these dots. First, Perry, a compiler that takes TypeScript, one of the most popular languages on the planet, and outputs native binaries. No Node, no V8, no Electron wrapping a browser engine just to render a button. 2 to 5 megabyte executables that talk directly to AppKit on macOS, GTK4 on Linux, Win32 on Windows. Real platform widgets, real threads, not web workers pretending to be threads, but actual OS threads with compile time safety checks on mutable captures. Second, Tiny VLLM, an open educational project that walks you through building a full large language model inference engine from scratch in C++ and CUDA. No PyTorch, no abstractions. You load the model weights from raw SafeTensors files, you write your own CUDA kernels for every operation. RMS normalization, rotary position embeddings, attention, softmax, and you implement paged attention and continuous batching by hand. The entire pipeline laid bare. Third, Liquid AI releasing a mixture of experts model with 8 billion total parameters, but only 1 billion active at inference time. Trained on 38 trillion tokens, running on a laptop. Chaining tool calls with 128,000 token context window on consumer hardware. See the pattern? We spent years stacking abstractions. JavaScript runs in V8, which runs in Electron, which wraps Chromium, which renders your app. PyTorch wraps CUDA, which wraps the GPU driver, which finally talks to silicon. Cloud APIs wrap models you never see, running on hardware you never touch. And now, the stack is collapsing inward. Perry skips the runtime entirely. TypeScript goes through SWC for parsing, then LLVM for code generation, and out comes a native binary. The interesting technical detail here is the compile time plugin system. Dependencies don't load at runtime through some inter-process communication boundary. They become direct native function calls in the final binary. That's not just removing a runtime, that's removing an entire category of overhead. The Tiny VLLM project tells you something about where developer attention is shifting. When people start building educational resources that teach you to write CUDA kernels for attention mechanisms from scratch, that's a signal. It means the community is moving past treating inference as a black box. They want to understand the metal. They want to know why the KV cache exists. They want to write the column major to row major transposition trick themselves and feel why it matters for performance. And Liquid's model? This is where sparse architecture meets practical deployment. A mixture of experts' design means most of the model's parameters sit idle for any given token. Only 1 billion of 8 billion parameters fire. That's what makes laptop-scale inference possible with 128,000 token context. They even doubled the vocabulary to 128,000 tokens to improve compression for non-Latin scripts, Hindi, Thai, Vietnamese, Arabic. More efficient tokenization means fewer tokens to process, which means faster inference. Every layer of the design is optimized to do more with less. Here's what I think this means. The era of just throw more compute at it is giving way to something more disciplined. The developers building Perry aren't adding more abstraction layers to make TypeScript run everywhere. They're removing layers until there's nothing between your code and the platform. The Liquid team isn't making a bigger model. They're making a model that's strategically sparse, dense in knowledge, minimal in computation. The Tiny VLLM project isn't wrapping complexity in a friendlier API. It's teaching people to work without the API at all. This is what an efficiency inflection looks like. Not marginal improvements, but a philosophical shift. The question has moved from can we make it work to can we make it work with the minimum possible overhead. and that shift has real implications for what gets built next. When a TypeScript app compiles to a 2 megabyte binary, when a capable language model runs on a laptop, when developers learn to write inference kernels by hand, the barrier to shipping drops. Not because the tools got simpler, because the tools got closer to the machine. I'll be watching where this converges, because right now, three very different communities, web developers, ML engineers, and model architects, are all pulling in the same direction, toward the metal, toward efficiency, toward less. That's the neural network. I'm Link, and I'll see you next time. System output optimization of the week. Lightstream. Here is your optimization of the week, and this one is for anyone running SQLite in production and losing sleep over backups. The tool is Lightstream. It is an open source streaming replication tool for SQLite. And if you have not looked at it yet, you should. Here is the problem it solves. SQLite gives you a fully transactional database in a single file. No server process, no network hop, no operational overhead. It's elegant. But the moment you rely on that file for real workloads, you start asking, what happens if the disk disappears? What about backups? What about disaster recovery? Lightstream answers all of that with one simple model. It continuously streams SQLite write-ahead log changes to S3 compatible object storage in the background, asynchronously. No cron jobs, no dump scripts, no downtime windows, just a small process watching your database and copying changes out as they happen. Here's how to integrate it. Install it as a single binary. Point it at your SQLite database file. Configure a destination. Amazon S3, Backblaze B2, any S3 compatible endpoint. Start the replication process. That's it. 4 steps. Your database is now continuously backed up to durable object storage. The practical value goes beyond backups. You can restore to any point in time. You can spin up a copy of your database on another machine for debugging or inspection. You can run a fleet of small services, each with its own SQLite file, and know that every single one is backed up without managing a shared database cluster. One caveat to keep in mind: the replication is asynchronous. If your server disappears between writes and the next replication cycle, you could lose a few seconds of data. For most workloads, internal tools, AI agent state, experiment tracking, local-first applications, that trade-off is perfectly acceptable. The real insight here is architectural, and it connects to everything we've been talking about today. Just like XCENA is stripping unnecessary data movement out of AI inference, and Perry is stripping unnecessary runtime layers out of application development, Lightstream strips unnecessary complexity out of database operations. It turns SQLite from a local-only embedded database into something you can treat as durable infrastructure. You get the simplicity of a single file, with the safety net of cloud storage. No Postgres, no managed database service, no connection pooling. Just a file and a backup stream. Check it out at the Lightstream GitHub repository. It's open source, well documented, and it solves a real problem with minimal complexity. That's the kind of tool that belongs in every builder's toolkit. Data processed, perspective rendered. I am Link, and this has been Tech Talk.